To quote Thomas Jefferson, a well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we discuss the basics of our constitutional republic and how our freedoms are being seized by public officials, both elected and unelected. I'm Mark DeLuzio, a former candidate for the U.S. Congress and a Gold Star father. Join me as we learn together how we can save this unique experiment that we call America. Hi, welcome to episode 47. Mark DeLuzio here. Once again, I want to try to bring the Constitution back into current day events that are going on. Right now it is June 14th, 2025. It is a day before, well, I should say 2 days before your quarterly taxes are due. We're going to talk a lot about taxes in future episodes. We've already started that on the 16th Amendment, but I just thought I'd remind everybody to make sure you get your taxes in if you have to pay estimated taxes. Episode 47, I'm going to talk about Article 4 in the Constitution. It's called the Guarantee Clause. And I'm titling this the Duty to Protect Against Invasions. Okay. And I want to walk you through the Constitution and lead you right up to the whole criticism that President Trump is getting for bringing National Guard troops and the military over to L.A. to try to quell the mess that these people created out there. And it is a created mess. And part of me thinks that this mess is created intentionally. Let's just check that. A big part of me is just that, okay? And everybody there, whether they're paid protesters or not, they're all there being used and all in the spirit of trying to gain power for the next election. Okay, so always keep that in mind when you see this stuff going on. So Article 4, let's back up into the Constitution a little bit and start right at the top with Article 2, Section 1. This is the presidential oath, and I've read this before on various episodes. And let's talk about Article 2, Section 1. Here's the president's oath. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, I think you all know and been with me enough to know that the Constitution is there to protect us citizens from the government infringing on our rights. Rights do not come from the government. I keep wanting to stress that to people. A lot of people in office today think that they do. But this oath talks about what the president is supposed to do and what his role is. Now, it says ability to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. Well, let's talk a little bit more about what that Constitution has to say relative to the executive office, which is all outlined in Article 2 of the Constitution. Now, in a previous episode, I talked about the Title 8, and I talked about that's our immigration law primarily, and how that wasn't being enforced. Matter of fact, it was intentionally being ignored by the Biden administration. And to me, that was grounds for impeachment. For they tried to do Mayorkas, which was foolish. They should have went after Biden. But the president is supposed to uphold the laws. Okay, so when you start talking about protect and defend the Constitution, that's exactly, you can change that to say protect and defend the people of the United States. That's our Constitution that we granted these powers to the government. The people granted them to the government through our representatives in Congress, okay? So let's keep in mind what the president's job is. One of them is to follow the laws and protect American citizens. There's really two major reasons why the government exists, the federal government. One is to protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic, which this falls right into, in terms of LA and all these other riots that are going on. And also to defend our rights. We have inalienable rights, which are natural rights which are granted by God, and we have enumerated rights that are outlined in the Constitution. There's also something called unenumerated rights. These are rights that are not in the Constitution. And again, many people think, hey, it's not in the Constitution, so you don't have a right to do that. No. Those rights that were put in, the enumerated rights that were put into the Constitution, resonated from the Declaration of Independence and the 27 grievances we had against the King of England, King George III. So there are other rights. You have the right to raise a family. You have a right to travel. You have a right to go on vacation. You have a right to educate your kids. There's all kinds of rights. You have a right to produce income, right? So there are all kinds of unenumerated rights that you have as well that are not outlined in the Constitution. Okay, so I just want to give you those three types of rights as we go through this. Now, it's interesting, whenever the left does not like something that's going on, they invoke the Constitution. And almost all the time, it's a misinterpretation of the Constitution. And they're relying on the poor education system that we have, especially as it revolves around civics and history, that if a politician says, well, that's unconstitutional, nobody ever challenges them. Nobody ever questions it, right? What they said about President Trump bringing in the National Guard to protect the people of L.A. is a farce. And I'm going to prove it to you right now when we go back to the real Constitution, not some made-up interpretation that these guys might have, okay? And the only time the left wants to invoke the Constitution is when it's in their favor. But like I said, they're usually wrong about their interpretation. Because if they really wanted, you know, to uphold the Constitution, why would they ever want to get rid of the Electoral College? Why do they want to pack the Supreme Court? Because they're not getting their way, okay? There's all kinds of things that are going on that they try to circumvent this thing called the Constitution, because the Constitution gets in their way, folks. Sorry. That's what's happening here. So let me continue in the Constitution. Now, I want to go to Section 2, Clause 1. This is the section that gives the president his powers as commander-in-chief, okay? So let me just read at least part of it. The president shall be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of the several states. Now, the militia, now back then, National Guard didn't exist, right? But the militia is the National Guard when called into the actual service of the United States. Okay, so there's another part of this section when it talks about pardons and all that, which I won't read right now because it's a little bit off topic. But the commander in chief shall be, he's the commander of the Army, Navy, and the militia of the several states. Okay, when called into actual service of the United States. Now, my son, Stephen, and Scott both fought in Afghanistan for the National Guard, Stephen from Vermont and Scott from Connecticut. Those were under the jurisdiction of the commander-in-chief, even though they're state militias, if you will. Okay. So just want to lay that out there, that he has the granted authority that we gave the president. The people of the United States gave that individual the powers of commander-in-chief. And these are limited powers, by the way, because the president is not supposed to be able to call war or declare war, even though we have laws now that kind of circumvent some of the things that in Article 1, Section 8, where Congress can only declare war. But anyway, I just thought I want to get that out there, and I'm building back to where the president is right about what he did in LA. Okay. So now let me take you to another section of the Constitution. Article 4, Section 4. This is the guarantee clause. Okay. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. So, you know, we had a few episodes on this, that we are a republic. We're not a democracy. A democracy is mob rule. Okay. And the founders knew that mob rule was disastrous for a nation. And I think it was Adams that said a democracy will sooner or later commit suicide, right? So, but the part I want to get to in this, and let me start again and read it again to you. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. And on application of the legislature or the executive, when legislator cannot be convened, against domestic violence. That's not spousal abuse, by the way. Domestic violence, okay, which is exactly what was going on in LA. Okay, now, that's Article 4, Section 4. I want to take you now to the 1828 dictionary for Noah Webster, okay? And you guys heard me talk about this dictionary before. If you don't have one, get one. I think you heard me say that I asked my wife one last Christmas. She said, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I want a dictionary. She goes, what are you, some kind of nerd? Yeah, I am. I'm a constitutional nerd, okay? The 1828, don't get the Merriam-Webster dictionary. That's got a bunch of crap in it. Get the 1828 dictionary that was written by Noah Webster out of West Hartford, Connecticut, okay? I've been to his house. I used to live in West Hartford, Connecticut. And he wrote this dictionary and published it in 1828 because he knew the words that were used at the time of our founding, and he was a big part of that founding, okay, were going to be misconstrued, or the meanings were going to be changed, okay? So certain things that they have at that time, words that they use that were commonly understood are not commonly understood today. Like, I'll give you one example. In the Second Amendment, it says you have the right to bear arms. The word bear back then was widely understood to mean handheld, that you can carry it or it's handheld. Where do you find that out? You go right to the Noah 1828 dictionary. I'm going to this dictionary all the time to look up words like, what is war? Okay, you'd be surprised what war really is when these politicians say, well, yeah, Biden went into Yemen and Jordan. It's really not a war. Really? Because you say so? Look it up. Look it up in a dictionary. Okay. So that dictionary I'm referring to all the time when I'm looking up certain words. Well, the word I want to look up now is this word called invasion. Okay. And this is right out of Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. And I'm just going to read it to you. One. A hostile entrance into the possessions of another, particularly the entrance of a hostile army into a country for the purpose of conquest or plunder or the attack of a military force. The north of England and south of Scotland were for centuries subjected to invasion from each other. Okay. Number two, the attack on the rights of another, infringement or violation. And three, and you'll find this one interesting, the attack of a disease as the invasion of the plague in Egypt. Think about COVID. According to this, was that classified as an invasion? Absolutely. Okay. All of these people that came in, all these MS-13 gang members and all these other gangs, President Trump and declared them a terrorist organization, and rightfully so, and they invaded us. And so that invokes all kinds of things that President Trump can do relative to these rapists, these murderers, these child pornographers, these child traffickers, okay? It opens up a wide amount of things that the president can, in fact, do. So there's your 1828 invasion. Definition of invasion by our friend Noah Webster. And I think when you start piecing all this together and looking at the Constitution, it's also sometimes important to look at history. Okay. So I want to talk about the half a dozen or so times that other presidents did exactly what President Trump is doing. And let me read you the list. Now, the very first president to do this, and he invoked the militia, was to quell the Whiskey Rebellion when he was president. Okay? A second time, President Dwight D. Eisenhower dispatched federal soldiers and brought the Guard under federal authority because of the Arkansas National Guard. It was used to resist court-ordered desegregation in Little Rock, Arkansas. Okay, it's another time. 1962, President John F. Kennedy dispatched federal troops to Oxford, Mississippi, when federal marshals were unable to control the rioting that broke out upon the admission of an African-American student to the University of Mississippi. Okay, so there's John F. Kennedy. In June and in September of 1964, President Lyndon Baines Johnson, so he did it twice that year, sent troops to Alabama to enforce court decrees opening schools to black students. Okay. And in 1965, he used federal troops and federalized local guardsmen to protect participants in a civil rights march. I'm not sure where that is. Maybe it was Selma. I'm not sure. Okay. The president at the time justified his action on the grounds that there was substantial likelihood of domestic violence because state authorities were refusing to protect the marchers. Does that sound familiar? Okay. So we have a history here of this being done. And, you know, we are ill-equipped to teach our kids today, never mind adults, the history of the nation. And all these were legal, by the way. And all these were in the president's Article 2 and Article 4 powers and responsibilities. I don't even call it a responsibility. I want to call it an obligation. They were obligated to protect American citizens. The president is obligated to uphold the law. The president can't choose the laws that he wants to uphold. He can't say, I don't like that law, so I'm not going to enforce it. It's not his call. When these laws get passed by our Congress, those laws are representative of the voice of the people. Now, of course, you may not like some of the laws that are passed. I certainly don't. But that's how the system works. Okay, the president doesn't have a choice to pick and choose what laws he decides to pass or which ones he's going to ignore or enforce, I should say, right? And President Biden, by the way, just basically took Title 8, which is our immigration laws, and threw it right down the toilet. He threw Title 8 right down the toilet, okay? Amongst other laws, like when the Supreme Court said, no, it's unconstitutional to pay tuition. Now, I'm going to find a way to do it, he says. Right? Didn't care. Did not care about our Constitution. And if you go back in some of the previous episodes, you're going to find that Woodrow Wilson, the father of the progressive movement. And again, when you say you're a progressive, it's basically saying that you have a disdain for our Constitution. Because the Constitution got in his way. And he did all kinds of things to circumvent it. We have episodes on that. I won't kind of go back and review that. But he did say that the checks and balances, which are the most genius part, I think, of our Constitution, he said, oh, yeah, the checks and balances is just a theory. That's all it is. No, Dumbo, it's the law. Woody Wilson, it's the law. And every president since then, more some than others, have just taken the Constitution and crapped on it, including Republicans, by the way, okay? George W. Bush with the Patriot Act, for example, okay? Obama with DACA. They didn't give a rat's ass about the Constitution, okay? I want to end it with this. Right now, as we speak, matter of fact, today, which is President Trump's birthday, June 14th, and so is my best one of my best friends, Sheriff Joe Arpaio out of Arizona. It's his birthday today, too. He turns 93. I just talked to him the other night. It's Flag Day. And they're having these protests all around the country. They're calling it the No Kings Protest, you know, insinuating that President Trump is a king. And he's ruling us without going through due process, okay? This particular topic with LA and the National Guard, You know, I think I just proved to you that he's totally within his constitutional authority. But they don't care about that. They're miseducated or just ignorant or just have such confirmation bias against the man that they don't want to hear the facts. Okay? But they're calling it the No Kings protest. Well, I think they got it wrong. Because I think, well, once again, they got it wrong. They get it wrong all the time. Why did they get this one wrong? They should have called it the No Queens protest. Wasn't it Kamala Harris that was ensconced as the presidential nominee without a single vote from the people? Joe Biden got 14 million votes. Harris got zero votes, and she was placed on top of the party and could have become president. You never know how these elections go, right? With nobody voting for her. Don't monarchies do that? I mean, the King Charles over in England, did anybody vote for him? No. How about the princes and the kings of Saudi Arabia and all those people? Yeah, there's no elections. Okay. And it was an election here too. So I think they got this wrong. They should change this protest to call it the No Queens protest. Because that's exactly what these people did. And everybody seemed to be okay with it on the other side. I mean, I had a problem with it. And not because I wanted Joe Biden to run. We would have beat him anyway. It's just unconstitutional as to what they did. That sleight of hand, and everybody on the left seemed to be okay with it. And some 40-some-odd million people voted for her. So, No Queens. I think it's a No Queens protest. That's, to me, what this should have been called. Okay. I'm going to end it there, but I just want to kind of walk you through the Constitution, starting with the oath of office. Okay. That the president's obligated to uphold the Constitution. And I took you through... the presidential oath is in Article 2, Section 1. If you want to read it, you should always have a copy of the Constitution on hand. Then I took you through Section 2 of Article 2, which is the Commander-in-Chief clause, giving him the power to control the Army, Navy, and the militia. You got to remember, the Marines are part of the Navy, okay? And I walked you through Article 4, which is the Guarantee Clause, where the president is obligated to protect citizens against domestic violence, okay, or against invasions. I took you through Noah Webster's Dictionary in 1828 to give you the pure definition of an invasion, okay? When this was written, that was the definition of invasion, okay? And I walked you through the half a dozen or so instances where other presidents, starting with George Washington, has done exactly the same thing that President Trump has done to protect the property and American citizens, okay, out in LA. So, oh, and finished off, let's not forget about the No Queens protest. They really need to rename that, okay? So, anyway, just thought I'd bring a little color to this. I think sometimes just going back into the Constitution and applying it to what's going on today is critically important. I think that's something you should always do. Use the Constitution as a litmus test. And when you see something going on, you say to yourself, hey, is that constitutional? First thing I do, then I move from there, okay? And I may not like some of the things that are constitutional, like burning the flag is constitutional. You have a First Amendment right to burn the flag, the U.S. flag. I don't like it, but I do agree with the ruling, and Judge Scalia voted against banning burning the American flag. So some things I don't like, but you'll rue the day when you just choose what you like and don't like when it violates the Constitution, because that will come back and bite you, okay? Anyway, signing off, this was Section 47. Oh, boy. episode 47. I'm getting all my sections and articles mixed up, but this is episode 47, article 4, the guarantee clause, the president's duty to protect against invasions. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. The Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems. Other episodes can be found on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio. Until next time, may God bless you, may God bless America, and may America bless God.